This morning reading is from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell in the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest came along, was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while travelling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. When I come back, I will repay you whatever you have spent.' Which of these do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." And this is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Colin. I have 2 sermons today. Oh, a long one and a short one. To start with the short one. In your life, in your being, in your attitude towards life, it can be summed up by the 3 characters in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Yours is mine if I can get it from the robbers. Mine is my own if I can keep it, the priest and the Levite. Mine is yours if you need it, the Samaritan. That's the short one. Now for the long one, the second sermon. I'd like to share with you a parable. Saturday night last week, not last night, but a week ago, we all remember that night well, don't we? Well, just so happens there was an elderly man walking home from the showdown football at Adelaide Oval. And he got beaten up in Elder Park. It was late in the night, long after the game had finished, and there weren't many people around. Then along came a Port supporter. Took one look at him and passed on the other side. Moments later, a Crows supporter came along. Oops, sorry. And ventured on the same path as the Port supporter, taking one look and deciding not to get involved and hid behind the cars parked down King William Street. Kept on going. Enough of that. Well, no, not really. Then comes along a young lad, about 17 or 18, wearing a Collingwood jumper. Took one look at this beaten up man, and without hesitation, hurried over and helped him and put him in his mum and dad's Volvo and took him to the Royal Adelaide Hospital. Now, many South Australian football fans love to hate Collingwood. It's what you do. It's in the psyche of football. It's tradition. It's part of who we are to hate Collingwood. Any Collingwood supporters? Oh, there's one. We'll see you afterwards. The Jewish people hated the Samaritans. To understand Jesus' parable and to feel its impact, one must understand that the Samaritans were a despised people, particularly by the Jewish people. For the Samaritans had intermarried with the Jews and had introduced mixed blood. So the Jewish people, being holy and separate and pure, they didn't like mixed blood, so they despised the Samaritans, apparently. The very word Samaritan would cause one to spit onto the ground in front of them and curse them. There were deep-seated religious issues, differences, radical, racial, environmental, economical, and relational. Who is it that you hate? Okay. Hate is a strong word. Who is it that you dislike? Who is it that you would walk on the other side of the road for? Who is it that you don't care for? Who would you not give the time of day to? Is it a racist attitude that you have? Or that we have? Is it gender related? Is it socioeconomic related? Is it religious? Jesus was a Jew. The disciples were Jews. His audience were Jews. The lawyer in this story was a Jew. And Jesus tells a story about a Samaritan in a positive light. Even more so to contrast the Jewish law and religious tradition. We know this traveler as the Good Samaritan, but nowhere does Jesus call him good. So why do we call him good? Is it because of his nationality? Because he's wealthy? Because he's the right person at the right place at the right time? Or is it because this Samaritan bloke lived out what it means to be neighbor? The correct answer, of course, is, as the lawyer says, because he shows mercy to the beaten up bloke. The whole point of this passage is based around the question of what must one do to receive eternal life, to which the answer is, of course, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Which leads to the second question, who is my neighbor? So who is your neighbor? Who is our neighbor? Or perhaps a better question would be, in what way or ways does my life express that of being neighbor? Because this story is set in the context of a debate with a lawyer, and there are priests and Levites and ministers, if you like, involved, I thought I would consult both a minister and a lawyer to shed light on this question today. Who is my neighbor, and how do we approach this story? Firstly, to the Uniting Church minister, the late Reverend Bruce Prewer, who uses the imagery of a tennis match. He says that simply it's a theory and practice, of law and grace. Jesus was a young man who looked for commitment, for action, and the lawyer wanted a debate, a kind of mental tennis match. So seeing it's Wimbledon, I thought I'd play a tennis match. Be warned of flying balls. Are you ready? I'm warning you. Good catch. This one's going over there. Not so good a catch. Bit like the cricket the other night. But the lawyer served first, a curving ball. "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Calmly, Jesus patted the ball back to him. "What is written in the religious law?" he says. "What do you read here?" Now, returning that ball down the center of the court, the lawyer replied, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself." You see, the lawyer knew his stuff. The connection between loving God and others. He had the right theory. There was no room for argument here. Jesus returned the shot back at the lawyer's feet. "Right," he said, "do this and you will live." See how Jesus throws the theory back into action? "Do this," he says. Jesus is not interested in unproductive word games. He wants commitment, loving commitment. Loving is his thing. Loving is his thing. The lawyer thinks he sees an opening. Action, He rushes to the net and he volleys at Jesus. "Ah, but who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" Looking for a long rally, he asks, "Is my neighbor the person next door? Is it someone from my own town? Or those who are religious or righteous Jews? Or maybe any Jew, whether good or bad, doesn't matter." So it was with satisfaction that the lawyer put a deep ball back into the court where Jesus was. "Return this one," he says, "if you can." So Jesus surprises him by going for a very high lob. He tells a story about a certain bloke who gets beaten up. No definition, a certain man, no race, no name, no religious, no ethical, no nothing. Just a certain man, anonymous. Could have been you, could have been me, could have even been Jesus in his history. Jesus could have been the one who got beaten up, and he tells the story about his own life. Who knows? He gets mugged, gets robbed, and three blokes come along. What happens on the road to Jericho is well known. Both the priest and the Levite, notice there's no personal names here either, just categories, priest and Levite, religious leader of the day. They see the victim and pass on by without helping. They're within their rights because the Jewish law says don't touch a dead body, don't look at blood because it'll defile you and you'll be unclean and then you have to go through the ritual of washing, etc. So let's walk on the other side and don't get involved. Turn a blind eye and keep going. We'll take up the offering later. They cannot risk touching a dead body. They put their version of godliness above compassion. Then arrives the villain. He's a Samaritan. He's a Collingwood supporter. Sorry, John. He's a Trump supporter. But he helps the victim. He helps this guy. Pays for his upkeep at the local hospital. At no stage does the Samaritan stop and ask the legal question, "Who is my neighbor?" He gives no legal thought, just grace. Back to the contest between Jesus and the lawyer. The lawyer had plenty of time to see that backhand lob that Jesus put up, curling over his head. As he ran back to retrieve it, he could hear the voice of Jesus saying, "Who do you think was neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" The lawyer's return was the only face-saving one in the circumstances. The one who showed mercy. And the ball fell short in mid-court. Jesus says, "Go likewise." A certain winner. Game, set, and match. Mr. Jesus the Christ. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, ball boys. Thank you, everybody else. Serena Williams, and I can't even remember the other name who beat her, but anyway. Well, the whole encounter had kept Jesus to the point of doing the right thing rather than defining boundaries. He declares the theoretical question, the answer to this question of who is my neighbour? To whom can I be neighbour? Now, the other day, I told you I consulted a minister, now I consult a lawyer. The other day, I had lunch with my lawyer. Sounds great, doesn't it? Lunch with my lawyer. Well, he's not actually my lawyer, but he's a mate, a friend, who actually happens to be a lawyer. So I asked him the question, who is my neighbour? He said, it comes with a lawyer's question. Takes another bite of lunch and a very expensive glass of red wine, and then says, and I'm a lawyer. The most important and far-reaching thing, he says to me, Bob, is a contemporary judge made in law that we call negligence. It's based on this passage, he said. And I'm sitting there thinking, it's called the neighbour principle, he said. Lord Atkin, in 1932, told us, as a matter of law, who is our neighbour. I'll send you the email with the ruling. So he sent me the email with the ruling, and this is the ruling. Bear with me. This is from a lawyer. The rule that you have to love your neighbour becomes in law. You must not injure your neighbour, and the lawyer's question, who is my neighbour, receives a restricted reply. You must take responsible care to avoid acts or omissions which you can reasonably foresee who would be likely to injure your neighbour. Who then in law is my neighbour? The answer seems to be persons who are so closely and directly affected by my act that I ought reasonably to have them in contemplation as being so affected when I am directing my mind to the acts or omissions which are called into question. He went on to say, Lord Atkin, he didn't get it, and I wondered why. Lawyers never get it. Never have, never will. Because they're looking for boundaries and loopholes and definitions and principles that we can all work around. And that's why they don't get it. Because you can never box in God's love. You can never box in grace. Nor can you ultimately define it. Lord Atkin's ruling, if I'm correct, he said, focuses on doing no harm rather than showing mercy. Another bite of lunch and another glass of very expensive red wine. My lawyer friend went on to say that the idea had come, and another idea had come from another QC who told him a book of homilies by a Jesuit priest and poet, Peter Steele, a professor in English at Melbourne University. I mean, that Peter Steele, of course. He talks about venture capital. Many of us are rich enough to venture some, he said. Venture capital is, he says, money on the loose, looking for somewhere to reproduce itself. And he says, venture your best capital, love. Venture your best capital, love. And we both agreed that might just precisely be the message to take away from the Good Samaritan story. Let our love loose and reproduce itself, looking for places to take seed, not looking for boundaries or limits or even definitions or loopholes, but let love loose. Be like the sower and throw the seeds out all over the place. Let our love, practical love, loose so it can seek places to reproduce itself. Who is my neighbour? Lord Atkin says, the persons who are so closely and directly affected by my act that I ought reasonably to have them in contemplation as being so affected when I am directing my mind to the acts or omissions which are called in question. That doesn't do it. For me. Who is my neighbour? Asked Jesus to the lawyer, to which the lawyer responds, the one who showed mercy. This lawyer actually got it right, but he didn't know that he got it right. The one who acted, he said. The one who actually did something. The one who acted neighbourly. The one who wasn't prepared to stay behind definitions, traditions and assumptions. The one who crossed boundaries. The one who didn't avoid getting involved. The one who saw a fellow human being in need and showed love regardless. The one who ventured his most expensive capital, himself. And that sort of does it for me. Game, set, and match. Shall we go and do likewise? As we reflect on those words this morning, I invite you to sing the song, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace."